Check, check, chiggity, check, 1, 2.
Catch you on this side, bud.
Ah, look who it is. My partner in crime, Mr. The Mag himself.
Indeed, along with the Hody himself.
Hey, that's me.
Indeed.
Well, I'd like to welcome all our guests back after a little hiatus on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I got to do this, man. One of our listeners specifically requested that I shout her out. She happens to be one of our German followers, one of our 2%ers.
I know who you're talking about.
Well, cool. Well, then you can say some kind words with me. So,
fair enough.
Miss Haley Gucci. If you're out there listening, we love you, and thanks for being one of our wonderful supporters.
I would like to second that. Good old Cooch. Definitely glad to have you as a listener, and, you know, good to have you as a friend. Reach out once in a while. You know, I don't get that very often.
Wish you would.
Indeed.
And, I don't know. One of these days, we'll fly over there and do a live podcast from Deutschland alongside you.
Let's make sure the EU is letting us in first.
Yeah. And make sure I have the money and that I'm not a felon by that time.
I would hope you're not a felon, but okay.
Hey, man, I'm... I don't know. But anyway, moving away from the felon talk.
Thankfully.
We talked about this episode and decided maybe we would share a little bit of our history with our vehicles. And, you know, each car that we've owned has a little story. Usually, in my case... A little crappier than I'd like to let on, but whatevs. It should be fun anyway.
Yeah, I definitely have had a fair share of my vehicles in the past, and a very long story for at least most of them.
Great. Well, I'm sure that'll add on to the... mandatory hour-long requirement that I've now started putting on our podcast.
Mandatory, huh?
No, I just... It's more of a dream, I guess. I'd like to try to babble on for an hour. For listeners' sake, of course.
Well, generally speaking, we do go about that long whether we try to or not.
Yeah, so let's...
I mean, it's not exact, but yeah.
Well, I guess let's keep the trend going. We are going to babble about our cars in this episode. Who went first last time? It feels like it's been forever.
Well, it has been forever and a day. Pretty okay, sure. It's official. 2 weeks is forever.
Feels like it to me. You go first.
Okay. All right. I'll go first this time. So, I think I was 14 or 15 years old, and my dad decided to have his friend Pete, the guy's dead, so I don't mind using his name, Pete.
Rest in peace, Pete. Rest in Pete. Sorry.
Yes, that was, in fact, bad.
Anyway. Kill me.
And anyway, so went over to his house with my dad, and it turned out that my dad was getting me a 71 Dodge half ton.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Apparently the truck was worth, I don't know, $1,500-ish bucks, mostly because of the rims. I'm not making that up.
Sweet.
Kind of wasn't rusted out. Like, it'd been taken care of, but it wasn't, like, in the best shape or even that good. But, yeah, so that truck was, well, let's just say it was before power steering or cruise control or even having really adjustable speeds on windshield wipers or brights on the, like, the brights were there, but they were, but the button for it was on the floor. I know it was an automatic, but I'm just gonna say it. That thing was a piece of shit.
That goes without saying. It's your first car.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, because no one really taught me how to drive, I kind of had to figure it out on my own. I rolled it.
Good job.
Yeah. about the only part that wasn't destroyed in that cab was where my head was. And that's because I had the window rolled down because there's no air conditioning.
Oh, God. Good. Good job, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you're here with us, man. That's
crazy. I am too. I'm glad to be anti-dead.
The act of being not alive.
Yeah.
How did you manage to do that? Were you just taking a sharp turn?
I was going too fast around a curve, and I didn't know that you don't hit the brakes going through a turn at the time. I learned real fast the hard way. You don't do that.
Cripes.
Yeah. But, well, I still got the rims, though.
Woo!
Yeah, they're at my parents' house. I didn't even know until about a month ago when my mom texted me saying, "Hey, you know you got a set of rims out here, right?" It's like, really? I thought Dad would have sold those just because. But they're still out there. I need to try to, like, I don't know, sell those, start up a business with them or something. I don't know.
Bring them back, man. You can use them as some kind of you get like a piece of plywood and bam, you got yourself a super ghetto table that looks cool.
Well, I'll show those things one day and you'll see just how or how and why you don't do that.
All right, cool. All I'm hearing right now is that we are going on a road trip to misery.
One day in the distant future.
We're going to get those rims and we are going to smelt them down and make bitchin' swords out of them.
We'll talk about it.
All right.
Swords. All right. Next vehicle was a 96 GMC Sierra.
All right. I'm picking up on a trend here.
I'm a truck guy.
You're a truck guy through and through, yeah.
Now, for the record, not all vehicles I have owned are pickups or trucks or whatever you want to call them. But I do tend to lean in that direction for pragmatic purposes. They're not as good on gas miles, and it's easier to lose the back. But when you know how to drive them, they're super useful, mostly for transporting more than just yourself.
Right, of course.
Yeah. So the 96 GMC Sierra, I didn't know anything about hydroplaning. A few of these vehicles when I was 16. Let's just say I had very bad luck and had to learn a lot of lessons the hard way.
I was going to say, you are learning some very bad life lessons here through driving.
Yeah. And this was also when I was 16.
The wild, rebellious Mag at his prime there.
Yeah, I actually wasn't allowed to drive in Springfield at the time, and I hydroplaned into another truck in Springfield.
Woo!
Oh, yeah, that did not end well for me. But, yeah, it ended up destroying the transmission. The power steering on that thing was gone. And I tried to hide it from my parents for a couple of weeks. And I got a ticket out of it.
Oh, fudge.
And I had just recently gotten fired from a job.
Man, you...
Yeah, that was a bad month. Like, just a really bad month.
Yeah, man, you... Did you get struck by lightning, too? I mean...
At this rate, I'm surprised I didn't.
Wow.
I was buying a motorcycle off of my neighbor. So it was year 2000 Honda Rebel 250. 250 being the size of the engine.
Of course.
Yeah, that's for our listeners who don't know.
It's a very small engine.
It's street legal, but not by much.
Well, what do you suppose the top speed on that was? 65, maybe?
If I was pushing it real hard, like revved all the way up, I think on flat ground, I think I got it up to about 65, yeah. Now, like if I was going downhill, I could max out the speedometer. But it, the only way I could, or the only reason I was able to do that is because I lived in a very hilly area. And that was on the paved roads. So, yeah, that was, I did put that thing on its side a few times.
Shit.
Yeah. But that is where I learned how to drive standard, because while they do make automatic motorcycles, those things are more expensive and a lot harder to find, actually.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, actually. I think I had that thing for, and I don't know. I think I sold that motorcycle, I want to say when I was, I don't know, 18 or 19 years old. I don't remember how much I got out of it, but I think it only ended up costing me like $1,200. And considering I started buying it when the bike was only 6 years old, I'd say I got a deal out of it.
Yeah, man, you pretty good job there, man.
Yeah. And yeah, I managed to get the, or even though I put it on its side plenty of times, never really scuffed the paint at all. I did have to replace the speedometer on it once. And for a while, it was my only mode of transportation. So when it rained, it was painful. And what's more, I could not take that thing on an interstate.
Little too vicious out there.
So I took it on an interstate once when I was in Kansas City, because my dad and I each rode a motorcycle up there to go watch a baseball game. And oh my God. Like, I have no idea how I did not legitimately get thrown off the road, because when you got an 80,000 pound semi going around you on the left, because the motorcycle won't go any faster, and you plus the motorcycle adds up to only about 300 pounds, it's going to have some problems there.
Okay.
But I managed to keep it in one piece, and yeah, I had to take the back roads with that thing. It was just impossible.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame you, man. That sounds a little terrifying.
Yeah. See, it was a different motorcycle, but when I was 20, I actually broke my foot on a motorcycle. I think I was borrowing my dad's. I've been on one since, but I just don't really like it anymore.
I feel you, man. You're a mature, responsible man now. Still the resident badass of our podcast, but all the same.
Well, I am the resident badass, so thank you for acknowledging this. But, yeah, I had that thing for, yeah, 2 or 3 years. I didn't ride it as much later, but that first year, that was pretty much my mode of transportation. Until it was, I don't know, 3 months later, my parents trusted me with a four-wheeled vehicle again. And so I drove a 1991 GMC Sonoma. That was a standard. And let's say there's a reason why my dad bought that thing for, I think, $700. It did what you need it to do. What you needed it to do. There was one point in time where I legitimately had to park the truck. Okay, so I had this truck during an ice storm, and the ice storm or the ice that was on the door legitimately broke the handle off of the passenger side door.
Oh no.
And I legitimately had to park my truck one day at this little tire shop parking lot because I think there's like something wrong with it, but I don't remember what. And well, when we came to go pick up the truck, oh yeah, GMC Sonoma is just like a little pickup, like a little pickup.
They babies.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, so someone parked right next to the driver's side door, and the drive like so close that you can't get in. So the only way I could get into that truck was because there was a double sliding back glass window. I legitimately had to open that thing from the outside. Thank God it was unlatched. And I had to slide my entire body through that back glass window. I have no idea to this day how I was able to fit, because there's no way I could do that now. Or even how I was even physically capable of doing that. I don't understand that one either.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a sight to behold for anybody who may have been watching. Yeah, I can tell you, I don't think I've ever seen anyone do that.
I've never seen anyone do it, but I've done it.
I believe you. Yeah. Wow.
It's not an experience I want to repeat or see anyone else do, because, yeah, it's distasteful. But yeah, that thing, years later, that thing actually ended up getting squished because,
oh no,
it was not my fault this time, but I was driving a different vehicle at the time, and my dad took it to a junkyard and just sold it for scrap. And so, yeah, that thing's squished in a junkyard somewhere.
A nicely folded cube, as it were.
Well, it looked like shit, but so I highly doubt it's all that nicely folded. But, yeah, I don't miss that thing at all. So when I was in high school, I had two other vehicles. One of them was an 86 Dodge Ram. Because my dad, I guess, just didn't like the image of me driving a shitty Sonoma. So he bought an 86 Dodge Ram from a guy named Bob. It was this mechanic that was, I don't know, 10 miles from the house, which I later found out that his nickname was High Price Bob.
Oh, damn it, Bob.
Right? And I think my dad bought it for like 1600 bucks. I wouldn't have paid six. Because, like, everything inside the truck worked, except that apparently the wiring was just done all wrong because all of a sudden the truck would just turn off.
That's not good.
I had it happen when I was on a US highway. The steering wheel locked up. About the only thing that did work was the brake, and the steering wheel was able to, I was able to nudge it just enough to be able to get it onto the shoulder. And because this was like 2008, I think, the phone that I had wasn't as important to me as the phone I have now. So I left the phone at home. So, again, through no fault of my own, I was stranded on the shoulder of a road with a truck that was inoperable without any means of contacting another human being because I was like halfway in between my school and the house because I was on my way to a school dance.
Well, dang it, I'm sure Betty was not very happy with you.
Well, I went stag.
Oh.
But yeah, so basically I was just on the side or just on the shoulder. Okay, for our listeners who don't know this, there are two reasons that you can pull off onto the shoulder of a highway. One is a medical emergency for obvious reasons, and the other one is a mechanical emergency. So, if a cop would have tried to write me a ticket, I would have had a legal out. But anyway, that didn't happen. But yeah, I was legit on the side of the road legally with a mechanical failure in the truck. And so I was basically just standing outside hoping someone would stop. Because that was pretty much the only way I was going to get any help. And this cop that apparently had just got off work saw me there, just pulled behind me. He was like, "Sir, what's going on?" I told him what was going on. He's like, "Okay, do you know your parents' phone number?" Which is a far more understandable question today, but I was like, yeah, I know their number. Okay, here, go ahead and call them. So I did, and my dad ended up literally hauling my truck to a mechanic that night, even though it couldn't get worked on till later. And yeah, it turns out that there was just some fucked up wiring in that truck that just prevented it from being able to do like anything of practicality whatsoever.
Good grief. Thanks, Bob.
I don't know how my dad got rid of that truck, but he got rid of that truck because that didn't just happen to me then. That was the first time. It happened to me a second time, only the second time I had my phone with me and we had a secondary vehicle that I could use. That being the Sonoma, so I wasn't entirely screwed having to use that Dodge Ram again.
Good job, brother.
Yeah, thanks. But the fact that I had to know what to do the second time, that's a serious problem there in itself. The last vehicle that I had, I actually liked that one. It was a 94 Dodge Dakota. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the prettiest looking thing, but hell, I'd drive that thing now if I still had it. But yeah, it was standard pickup, about what you'd expect from an early to mid-90s Dodge Dakota. Not the prettiest looking thing in the world, but it definitely got you from point A to point B. Did everything a pickup would do. Used an automatic. And it was also what I was driving when I graduated high school and got kicked out of the house.
Woo!
Yeah, so when I departed onto starting my life as an adult and not under my parents' thumb anymore, that was the truck I had. And I was driving that thing till I was 20. So I had that thing for a couple of years. It was while I was driving that Dakota that my parents had the Sonoma squished. But yeah, there was one point when I was driving that thing to and from St. John's, that job I had when I first got into college. There's a point where I had 3/10 of a gallon of gas in that pickup, and it still ran.
Man, you clearly err to the side of danger.
Well, I was that broke.
Okay, there's that too.
Yeah, it was to the point where I legitimately had to, when I filled up the tank that time, it was because I had taken out $100, I can't think of the right term, where you get $100 out of your check before you actually get paid.
Oh, like a payment advance?
Yeah, payment advance. Or, yeah, pay advance. I had to get $100 pay advance. Just so I could put gas in my truck. And I was able to afford to eat sandwiches that I bought, I think, at Apple Market. Like, I made all the stuff for it. Or, like, bought all the individual stuff and put it together.
Right.
Like, that was all I was able to afford. For, like, a month. But, yeah, that was the truck that got me through it. Well, then I think it was October of 2010. No, it was October of 2009. My parents decided to give me their 05 Chevy Malibu. So they took the Dodge Dakota back.
So this is the first time you've ever been in possession
of a car.
Car.
Yeah, or a sedan.
Should say sedan. Basically not a truck. But then you had the motorcycle for a quick stint.
Yeah. I had already sold the motorcycle at that point.
And you know, it only took you 5 cars, am I counting right, to get there?
I stopped counting.
Yeah, there's a lot, yeah.
I'm surprised I remember all of them. And looking back, it's like, why didn't my parents trust me with that many vehicles if they weren't going to teach me how to drive?
Shit.
Yeah, but anyway. So, at that point, I had the Chevy Malibu. That was a nice car. Like, that was actual. Like, first time I drove it, I hated it because, well, it was a car, not a truck. And I was, you know, that guy back then. I'm not that way now. For our listeners, just want to make that clear. I'm not that guy now. But yeah, I didn't. But you know, after about, I don't know, a couple of weeks noticing the gas miles, I was like, okay, I like this car.
No longer living life on the edge there, going on 0.3 gallon.
I didn't do that anymore. I didn't have to.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was I had that thing for a really long time. So yeah, that was October of 2009 when I got that car for my parents, because they bought that when I was 15, I think. Yeah, that was 2005. So, like, they bought it when it was still new. It had been driven, like, one time. Or it had been driven off the lot once, and it was pre-owned, but if it was pre-owned, it wasn't for long. But, yeah, they had that thing for, like, 4 years before they gave it to me. And then I was driving that car all the way up through AIT in the Army. Like, I sold that car in, I think, late January of 2015.
Okay, so if my math is okay, I'm counting 6 years?
A little over five.
Okay, yeah. Hey, that's kind of a long time to own a car nowadays.
I was in one accident in that car, and it was the other guy's fault. Yeah, traffic came to, like, a sudden halt. I slammed on the brakes. The brakes on my car were just fine, so it stopped in time. The car behind me, however, couldn't. So they had to, or so they ran straight into the back of my truck, or back of my car.
Damn, one of those. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was driving a rental, like a Chevy Aveo, for like a month.
Oh my God, no!
Yeah, because the insurance company, the other guy's insurance company, was this crappy online insurance company. It wasn't Gecko or Progressive or anything like that. It was some cut rate insurance. And only because the Chevy dealership I took my car to get fixed had dealt with that insurance company before and threatened to file a lawsuit, were they actually willing to cooperate.
Yeah.
So, I was forced to drive a Chevy Aveo for like a month, because that's how long it took to get my car fixed.
So, for our lovely listeners out there who may not be familiar with the Chevy Aveo, did you have a two-door or a four-door?
Two-door.
Yeah, so especially on a two-door. if you don't know me, I am 6'4", maybe 5 on a good day. I would not be able to fit in this car. Like, my knees would be, like, I'd be steering the wheel with my knees, pretty much. It's like a clown car, essentially.
It's designed for someone shorter in stature. I'm 5'7", and I was too big for that thing. Like, I'm average height for, like, the average American. Maybe about an inch shorter. But really, if you saw me, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference in height between me and anybody else, unless if I'm standing next to you. But, yeah, this car was too small for me, and I absolutely hated that thing. But yeah, I was driving that thing for like a month. So before I get to the car after the Malibu, I think I've said several times in the past on this podcast that I drive a semi for a living. So, for the record, I did not own a semi truck. I drove company trucks. But yeah, I drove a driving school truck when I was going through driving school in Burns Harbor, Indiana for 17 days. And then I drove my trainer's truck. There were actually three different trainers I had because that's just how Sierra England did their thing. I ended up driving three different semis. Two of them were the stereotypical ones you see going cross country. The third one's called a day cab. There's no bed in the back. In fact, there is no back. It's just the two guys driving, the driver and the passenger. And the reason why he had a day cab was because he had a daughter. He was a single dad. So he had to he had to be home every night for her. So, you know, that made sense. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then after I got done with training, which was about 2 months from beginning of driving school to the time I got trained in the day cab, it was about 2 to 2.5 months. Then they put me in one of those stereotypical big rigs you find. I don't even remember what color this thing was. I just know I hated it. But yeah, I drove that thing for a while. And then I moved to Bartlesville, Oklahoma, so that I could be closer to work. Then they put me in a day cab.
No.
Which meant that whenever I would drive somewhere, I had to be able to make it back that night. Because I couldn't, because there was no way for me to be able to sleep. So there were a lot of different places that I simply just wasn't allowed to go, which I'm not sorry about that at all.
Yeah, I could see that being spun into a positive. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But then I quit driving a big rig, joined the Army. And the only vehicle I was driving was going to be a Chevy Malibu. When I was in basic training, I wasn't driving anything. The Army is very adamant about that.
Of course.
Yeah. Then at AIT, so this is a fun fact about Army AIT. For the first 30 days where I was, you're not allowed to do anything, civilian, whatever. You're in what's called black phase, which is where you're allowed to be in uniform. You can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't drive, you can't go anywhere without a battle buddy. You're not even allowed to leave post. But you are given the freedom of, on a Saturday morning, you can wake up when you want.
Woo!
Which, you know, with my MOS, I got to Goodfellow and was like, oh my God, I have so much freedom. Ugh. Not realizing just how little freedom I really had.
Isn't America fun?
Yeah. But then phase five, I was able to get out of black phase and go into gold phase, which me and all my friends were, which meant that we could leave post, we could go do what we wanted to do. We still had to have battle buddies, which meant, you know, you have to have someone with you wherever you go. But yeah, we were given freedom. We could leave post. I think the first thing I did was go see Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, that kind of stuff. Then I was the only one of my friends who did this. I went into green phase, or what was also called phase 5+.
Yeah.
Why they didn't just call it Phase 6, I don't know.
That's what I've always wondered.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that. But the only difference is that in Phase 5 Plus, you can drive. So, and I had to wait, I think, 90 days after being AIT to be eligible. But yeah, I talked to my platoon sergeant about it, and he's like, Magnuson, you're actually one of my favorite soldiers. So you know what? You go ahead. And my parents actually brought down the car, and because I had my Phase 5 Plus tab, I was able to drive my car and not have to spend money on a damn taxi.
Sweet.
Yeah. And what's more, if there wasn't anyone looking, I could just drive off post as long as I was back by curfew. I mean, I think I did that once, and that was because my family was still out there. And no one cared. Nice. But yeah, I knew that. So there was only one way I was going to get rid of that car, and that was if I got orders to Germany. Well, I got orders to Germany. So I ended up selling that car at a Chevy dealership, not to the dealership, but at a dealership for like $1,500. Because at that point, it had about 10 years of age on it. It had like 150,000 miles on it at that point. So while it was still in good condition, the age was there. So I wasn't really going to be able to get a good deal out of it anymore. But yeah, I sold that thing. And oh, I cannot wait to tell you about this next car.
Oh God, here we go.
Yeah, so I've only got two more vehicles to talk about. But so when I got to Germany, at first I was super confused because it was a weekend and no one was making me do anything or go anywhere or do stupid shit. But it was, I think, the second or third. No, I think it was within the first month anyway that I went to what's known as the Lemon Lot. I had never heard of a car called the Lemon before, but now I know why. And I bought a Lemon. It was a black 1998 Volkswagen Lupo. Lupo is it is Italian for wolf. And that car howls.
Oh boy.
Oh my God, this car was such a piece of shit. So it was a manual transmission, which I'm more than familiar with. But like, in order to get it in reverse, you'd have to push down on the stick, then up, then to the left and up to get it into reverse. And so now this is the only car I've ever driven 107 miles an hour, let alone legally. But at the same time, this car broke down three different times in 2 years. And when I had my car like reinspected, I think it was like 150 euro worth of like damage that had to get fixed. There's only like one place in town that worked on cars. So of course he had no problem charging me whenever he wanted to fix the car.
Oh yeah.
And I had to have car insurance in Germany so that I could legally have the car and have the insurance before I got it tagged. But yeah, the first two times that the car broke down, it took 6 weeks to get it fixed when I got the car re-tagged, I was out like 200 euro, which in American dollars is closer to about 250 bucks. And like the third time that broke down, it was like maybe a month before I left Germany. So this is how they do it in Germany. I legitimately had to pay a junkyard 60 euro to take my car from me.
What?
Yeah, that's how they do it over there.
Oh my. Ugh.
Yeah, you don't sell it for scrap over there. You pay the junkyard to take your car.
Please get rid of my car. Here's some money.
Yes, that's how it worked. That's how they do it over there. But yeah, I drove. At no point did I drive that car out of Germany, but I really didn't have to. I drove a rental van into Poland, but that was a whole different spiel altogether, which, I didn't own it, so I'm not getting into that.
Nah.
But yeah, that car, I had the little ball on the stick break off. So the second time I had the car break down, in order to turn the car on, I legitimately not only had to put the key in the ignition, but I then would have to use a screwdriver to turn over the ignition just to get the car to turn on.
Hey man, that's the anti-theft device right there.
It's the dumbest anti-theft device ever. And if a thief really wanted it, they could have figured it out. And, like, I legitimately had the key break. And I'd put my stuff in the car the night before, my army stuff. So I legitimately ended up having to borrow my squad leader's army stuff the next day just so I could carry out the task that I had planned for the day. Like, my squad leader was like, okay, unforeseeable event. I understand. Therefore, I bequeath my equipment unto thee. Here's the paperwork so that I don't get screwed over. But at the same time, that situation existed in the first place.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, so, oh my God. I am so happy I will never see that car again. And as far as I'm aware, they actually did go ahead and squish that thing, and thank fucking God. But yeah, when I got back to the States, I had re-enlisted at that point and got like 9,500 bucks out of it.
Oh.
So I said, okay, it's been a while since I had one. I'm buying me a truck because I was going out to California and I needed a vehicle to haul my stuff out there.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, so I bought the vehicle I currently drive, and that is a 2008 Chevy Silverado. I have had that thing since February of 2017. I paid that thing off a year ago, year and a half ago,
whoop, whoop.
And I have no intention of letting that truck go. It's a single cab, but I love the truck I have now. I have been in zero accidents with that truck. I have never had... I've got an oil leak, which I can... like, I'm legitimately running through some stuff in it right now so that I can get that plugged up.
You'll get it fixed. Yeah, it's not a problem.
But, yeah, like, that's it. That's the only issue I have with that truck. And that's the only issue I have had in that truck. And it's made the trip across this country twice. So, yeah. And I've driven it halfway across the country another time on top of that.
Yeah, man, she's a good one.
Has something. Yeah, you've been in that thing.
I've been in her a few times.
Yeah.
CI.
Yeah, so yeah, I love this thing. It's typical truck, nothing fancy about it, but at the same time, I ain't get rid of it until the day of self-driving cars. Fully automated self-driving cars.
Well, looks like you'll be keeping her till 2028. Hopefully. Sooner, of course.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Cool deal, man. Well,
I didn't mean to ramble on for almost our full hour.
Yeah, I know. We were making jokes about us, trying to hit an hour now, but you've almost fulfilled our quota, so thank you.
Well, you know, we still got your side to tell, bud.
We'll do it next. No, I'm kidding. hey, let's take it to our sponsors, and then when we come back, I shall babble.
Excellent.
And we're back. Did you miss us?
And we're back. And what was that?
I said, did you miss us? You being the lovely audience who is hopefully not in Guantanamo, having to listen to us as torture.
That may actually be an effective method.
Yeah, we should start adding really terrible pop music to our songs or shows. Anyway, enough depressing talk about torture. Let's talk about my vehicles.
All right, let's see what you got, bud.
All right, man. So let's take it back to 2007. I had just turned 18 and I had enough money saved up to buy my very first car, which was a 1987 Chrysler Fifth Avenue. So,
ooh.
Yeah, I bought this little sucker for $500 from my next door neighbor.
Figure on a limb and say if it only cost you $500, there's a reason.
Multiple reasons. So you look at this car and you just think, like, man, really, like, what it is basically just a poor man's Cadillac. It's a big ass car, super plush seats, just has the look of like a pit mobile, you know.
Ah, I know exactly what kind of car you're talking about.
Yeah, they put a big monster V8 in it, but because of fuel emission purposes, you know, it was basically limited to about 150 horsepower. So,
oh my God,
2-ton vehicle, 150 horsepower. It was slow as shit. But again, because of its look, you know, it had like a pretty blue color and it just looked the part for being like something, you know, I'm trying, you know, I don't want to use the word pimp too much, but that's, I'm telling you, man, you see this car, you just know pimps are turning tricks in these things. But,
so did you happen to have a white full-brimmed hat with the leopard skin going around the main part and having like a gigantic feather sticking out of it?
No, I'm not as cool as Hank Hill, but man, I should have. I thought about doing that at least once, but I never got around to it. But again, like I said, because everyone saw this car, that just exuded sex appeal, like. I remember I had a few offers from people wanting to buy her, and honestly, I should have taken them up on that offer. I had a few people try to drag race me on the streets, which always ended up hilarious because I would like rev it, like, oh yeah, we're doing this. But then once the light turned green, I would just drive slow as shit because I knew I was never going to win anyway.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, man. It had one bitchin' sound system, which I owe entirely to my stepdad. He wanted me to try to enjoy this piece of crap as much as possible, bless his soul. So he bought me a killer little like radio that had like HM or rather HD function on it and stuff. Had some pretty big ass speakers. Everything was just off brand new, and it was killer. I mean, the quality was amazing. So, but man, it just had, again, you know, you do get what you pay for.
Yeah.
For $500, I got a car that just had way too many problems. I don't know what was going on in the engine. I know the water pump had to be replaced multiple times. I had a radiator leak that we thought we plugged up, but never could quite get to. Yeah, so
that probably cost more than the car right there.
It just started adding up, yeah, like where my stepdad pretty much had a talk with me. He was like, you know, son, it's just not economically feasible for you to keep this car. Why don't we scrap it and just try to count our losses? And so that's what I did. I went ahead and scrapped her. I think I got like $350 for it, and I just blew that money on something else. I don't even know. Did not buy a new car at the time. Oh, and I should say, I'm one of those guys who like feels the need to name my vehicles.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention my truck's named Samantha.
Yes.
Anyway, you name your vehicles too.
Yep. That's good. I'm glad I'm not alone here. I'm glad I'm not the crazy one yet.
It's okay. We're both insane.
Yeah. So anyway, this was Darlene.
Oh, Darlene.
Darlene, yep. So, loved her, but she had to go. So, I want to say I went maybe a couple months before I decided that I just needed to drive. It's just in my blood, you know?
Yeah.
And so I had a little more money saved up, so I was like, okay, let's see what I can get for about $2,500. And I got, at the time, I thought it was a pretty bitchin' deal.
But?
No, really, nothing yet. So,
okay.
2000, I went ahead and bought a 2000 Acura CL.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with that.
Model with the pretty fast freaking V6 in it. I mean, it's not going to, like, win any street races, but, I mean, when it wants to go, it can go. I want to say it was probably rated about 200 horsepower. And yeah, no, dude, this car had some for a year 2000, you know, it had some pretty cool bells and whistles. Sunroof, yeah. It had heated leather seats. You know, you push one, it warms your butt up, which first time I ever had one, and it won me popularity in the wintertime, for sure.
I buy that.
Yeah. Really, the only problem with it was that it was a little on the smaller side. Again, I'm kind of a giant in some respects in some countries. Probably not in Europe, but maybe if we went to like Southeast Asia.
Yeah, you'd be playing basketball.
For sure. So, like, it had like a, it was a coupe, had some seats in the back, but really, there's just no way I was personally ever going to be able to get back there. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And that was my girl Stacy, which is kind of a sexy name. So, sexy car gets a sexy name, Stacy.
Fair enough.
No, I actually didn't really get to. I don't think I had Stacy for even a year before she got totaled. I was going down a road, and mind you, I was in the far left lane, and a car was exiting a parking lot off the side of the road and decided they were just going to cut as many lanes to the left as possible without doing any checks. So
they railed you on their blind side?
Sure did, man. I got T-boned pretty nastily, and the insurance wrote it off as a total loss.
Get anything out of it?
Yeah, I pretty much got all that I paid for. It's pretty cool.
Oh, nice. That usually doesn't happen.
Yeah, so my initial thought was, well, why don't I just buy the same car, you know, just... You know, we'll just pretend it never happened. But unfortunately, couldn't do that. I guess people who own Acura CLs typically want to keep them. I can see why.
Yeah.
So I took what, at least in terms of looks and maybe like numbers, appears to be a similar vehicle. But she had more problems than I would have liked, but I went ahead and bought another year 2000, a Toyota Solara, which again is a coupe, except this one's a little bigger. Like, in fact, full-size people can fit in the back seats.
Fair.
She was also black, but this is Veronica.
Oh.
Again, you know, she's pretty hot, so yeah, she gets a pretty hot name.
All right.
Yeah, she was just totally plastic, though, top to bottom. Just everything was made out of plastic, and it was starting to wear down. I remember one time my mom was riding with me, and she had gotten into the car and grabbed the door handle to try to close the door, and it just ripped off, just totally effortlessly.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, oh, thanks. I had to replace many a thing. I remember I had to replace my driver's side side mirror, which there's a fun story behind that, actually. Christmas Eve, I was driving down the highway, which was not yet freeway, but so... Well, it became a freeway once you crossed the next light. And I was about to cross the next light, except there was a man on a bicycle who, because there was a huge line of cars on the left lane trying to turn, I guess maybe he thought that either the light was red or that there was nobody going straight, and he was just going to chance it and go all the way across. I didn't see him because, again, like a 20, you know, lane, or 20 cars in the lane. I didn't see him until it was too late, and I had already drove over him. So, yep, I hit a bicyclist on Christmas Eve. This dude goes sliding across my hood and takes out my mirror, and I pull over instantly, and I look behind me, and I just see him on the ground for like 30 seconds straight, and my I'm freaking out. I'm just like, oh my god, I killed this guy, holy shit. No, like, this is not what you want to do on Christmas.
No.
So he gets up and he gets on his bicycle, which is super busted at this point, and tries to bicycle away, but cops arrived on the scene, and after interrogating myself and him and some witnesses, determined he was totally at fault, even after he tried to push the blame on me, and he actually got arrested. I went and checked the public files to see what for. Public intoxication.
I'll explain why they had no problem finding he was at fault.
Yeah. I remember getting a phone call about 2 months later in February from the state's district attorney, or the county's district attorney, asking me if I want to press any charges. And by this point, I already bought the replacement mirror. I already buffed out the scratches on the hood. I figured I probably had some more money than him. So I just let it go. I didn't see any point in trying to press charges. And...
yeah, it sounded like he was going to have criminal charges brought by the state anyway.
Yeah.
So it really didn't matter if you'd have brought charges or not at that point. It would have just been a drain on your life.
It really would have been. And I, you know, I'm a busy man. I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
But Veronica lasted me, I want to say, about 2 years. She wasn't a bad car. Just, I don't know. I guess I had no need to fix her up or anything, really. But that ended up being the downfall because stupid me recognized that she needed an oil change, but never got around to doing it. And eventually, the engine just totally broke down.
Like, that'll happen.
Yeah, yeah. You know, pistons get fused to the engine block, and it just became a brick. I bricked my car. You know.
Jesus.
Yep, yep. I'm a big fucking idiot.
Lessons learned there, bud. The hard way.
Believe you me, there are lessons to be learned in life, and I always get to find them out the worst ways. So. Went ahead again, scrapped her. I think I still got about 300 for it, so hey.
How much pay initially?
I paid, well, yeah, I got about, I got a check for, I think, 2,500 from the insurance company, so.
All right.
Yeah, so, nah, whatever. I learned. I decided I did not want to buy a car for a little while. I was going to try to save up and get a decent vehicle. I was kind of living paycheck to paycheck at that time.
Sounds right.
Yeah. So I went ahead and bought a bicycle. And so I was living with a bicycle for about half a year. And it was okay up until the winter months. Because I rode my bike to a bus stop. And then rode the bus to work. The bus stop from my apartment at the time, because I was living on the outskirts of town, was, I want to say, about a 4-mile bike ride. In normal weather, it's fine. It takes, you know, 30 minutes or so because of, like, having to go through traffic and some weird stops. But it, once winter came, and as our listeners know, you know, I lived in Texas, I guess there's kind of a perception that it doesn't get very cold in Texas, but,
it can get bad out there.
It sure can. So Austin, city of Austin, doesn't snow often, but it will ice. And
ice storms are worse.
Yeah, so I'm riding my bicycle on ice. And luckily, count my lucky stars, I did not face plant ever, but I sure did have a couple
close calls.
Close calls, absolutely. And look, this is for lady listeners. You can wear as many layers as you want, as I've come to find out, in your crotchal region. It will not prevent the shrinkage from happening. Dude.
I'll believe it. I know the pain.
So... I'm in my mid-20s at that time.
I was actually going to ask for a timeline update because I've lost track of what year this is.
Yeah, this is 2014.
Okay.
But I'm a mid-20s guy. Right, and I'm fully aware that shrinkage exists at that point.
It happens.
But I finally one day get to work and my crotchal zone is just totally frozen. So I'm like, well, let me run some, like, I run to the bathroom. I'm like, dude, I gotta, like, get some hot water down there. We gotta, like, wake my boys up.
Gotta make sure my boys work, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that feeling.
So, like, I shit you not. Unzip my pants. Take a look down there. It is like a turtle went in full retreat, dude. I was freaking out because I was like, oh my god, what if this is permanent? And I just... terrifying for me. But yeah, after running, you know, some hot water down there, waking everything up, getting blood flow back in, turtle came back out.
Me, yeah. Response was, oh, thank god.
Oh my god, yes. I prayed to any god I could think of. Jesus, Buddha, Oprah, you know, the works.
Oprah?
Yeah, man.
Fair enough.
But that was a single point when I decided I could no longer ride a bicycle to work. And so, again, still living paycheck to paycheck, so I didn't really have too much funds to go through, but I was able to talk to my uncle, who had basically... He himself had driven this car, but decided to get rid of it. So he sold me his 1995 Chevy Astro for the low, low price of $250.
$250?
Yep, and again, you get what you pay for.
I was going to say, either it's that or your uncle just really loves you.
No, I wish. So... no air conditioning. Windows that don't roll down.
Oh.
A sliding door that doesn't open. It's one saving grace was that it was a van, it was huge, and I could haul some things in the back.
Yeah, but you're talking like 120 degrees in the summer in Texas, and you can't so much as roll the windows down.
Mm-hmm. You're right. And, yeah, you know, it had a few mechanical problems, like my serpentine belt snapped off more than once, so that was fun. I got to... there's no better way to learn how to work on cars than to have them blow up in your face.
Serpentine belt breaks. That's a quite literally type moment.
Yeah, like... yep, I mean, I'm just shocked that the car... I was able to, like, pull it off to the side in time before it just continued rolling off a cliff or something, you know?
Yeah.
So, I want to say also, and pardon the pejorative language here, but this thing constantly got mocked by my friends who, in their own terrible affectionate ways, constantly called it a rape van, and would be like, hey, let me get a ride in your rape van, and... my response was, hell no, not until you be nice to Bertha. Oh, yeah, by the way, I named her Bertha.
I'm not even going to ask, but I'm pretty sure I know the answer.
Big Bertha, baby. So, one thing I forgot to mention here. This car, I don't know how my uncle did it when he was driving it, but he was still driving it with tires stock from 1995. And this is the year 2015, I believe.
What?
Yes.
They weren't bald?
No, yeah, no, they were bad. I was driving down the highway one day, and all of a sudden my car is just like shaking violently. And so I immediately pull over to see what the hell is going on, if I can identify anything. Yeah, the tread had just ripped apart, like just completely fell apart. It didn't, the tire didn't even pop. It just fell apart.
God.
Yeah. So after doing like, you know, full tire swap and after driving it for, I don't know, I guess up until the summer months when, I was basically cooking myself in there. I went ahead and just said, I'm trading it in. I'm going to go ahead and get a new vehicle with little to no problems. And if it does have a problem, a warranty will cover it.
It sounds like you haven't had one yet that didn't have a plethora of issues.
Truth. Well, the Acura, I guess. I mean, the only problem I could think of that one had was a, I forget what they call it. It's an EGR valve. It's just a small little valve that needed to be cleaned, but because it's super tedious work, it takes about 6 man-hours because of all the disassembling. And then you just get a pipe cleaner, just clean it out for like maybe 20 minutes, and then it's basically good as new. But then you got to put everything back together. So they charge up the ass to go, like if you want a mechanic to do it. So, but aside from that, yeah, no, but you're right. Every other car just had a slew of problems, and I was done with it. Fucking fed up. I take her to a dealership. Hey, I want to trade her in. And so that is when I got a 2014 Kia Forte, which, for reasons unknown to modern day me, I actually never gave her a name. So she's just the nameless one. But you know what? This is a funny thing though. Like, I guess they really wanted my business over there at the dealership. They appraised my Astro to be worth $1,000. So I got $1,000 credit for trade in. Those suckers.
For a $250 piece of shit.
Yep.
Well, in all fairness, if they rip the parts out of that thing, they could probably get $2,000, so they're still making a profit anyway.
Probably. I mean, yeah, I'm sure the metal itself is worth at least $400 or $500 in scrap alone.
Well, the transmission, gas tank, axles, et cetera, et cetera.
Maybe. I don't know. But the Kia Forte, nameless one, no name. I'll just call her that.
Fair enough.
Good car, man. It was a good little, you know, four-door coupe or sedan. Super good on gas mileage. I had zero problems with her, man. And I want to
say, the car I was in.
What's up?
Is this the car I was in?
No,
the red one.
No. We're getting to these. We're getting to modern day vehicles in a second.
Oh, okay.
I was still in Austin at the time with this vehicle.
And
I want to say I had her for about a year or so. Year and a half, I think. Yeah, I think about a year. Good. So I totaled No Name June of 2016.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I have to take the blame for this. So, stupid story behind this. I used to work nights at the time, so I stayed up, you know, like even on my off days till about 5 or 6 a.m.
This is a toll booth job?
No, this is a sleep technologist job.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. We'll have to talk about that one another day. some fun stories in okay. there. But I get a phone call around, I want to say midnight, 1 a.m. from a girl I used to frequently see. And she's like, there's a bug in my house. I'm scared. Can you come here? Well, dumbass me is thinking like, she just wants some booty. Yeah. I think I'll go out there. So I go. And I am on the frontage road of a highway. And all I have to do is take a left turn, cross under the bridge, take a right, and then I'm at her house. Super easy.
The fact that you still remember this says that right there.
Yeah. Oh, just biggest idiot moment of my life. And I've done some idiot things, right? So
I've noticed.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being non-judgmental.
No, no problem.
My light turns green. I turn left. There's another light waiting for me on the other side of the underpass. Now, surely you've driven on road at least once in your life.
On a road, yes, I have.
You know that on most of these roads, if you go under a highway and there's lights on both sides of the highway, they're usually synced up, you know? If the first light turns green when you get across the underpass, the other one turns green.
Generally speaking, yes.
This one did not, and...
Ew.
This is a problem with when you assume. Make an ass out of you and me, except only I was there, so... only I was the ass. Again, it's 2 a.m., so it's still amazing that there are like this many cars on the road.
Indeed.
But my light doesn't turn green. I cross a red. I immediately get T-boned by an oncoming vehicle. And then my car goes careening into another car waiting for their light to turn green.
Jesus.
Yeah, so I'm basically the catalyst for a 3-car accident there. And to think I was just one turn away from being totally free.
Wow. Wow. Just wow.
Yeah, so and you touched upon this earlier, having butt fuck lame insurance. Yeah, that was me. I had cheapo, never heard of, based out of like Reno, Nevada or some other sketch ass city insurance, and they were no help at all with resolving my case. In fact, the agent assigned to work on my case was on vacation for like 2 weeks before she ever returned any of my calls.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was... they provided no rentals, so I had to go out and rent my own.
Ugh.
Yeah, I was down a lot of money before this got resolved.
And, wow.
Again?
Guess you only have liability?
No, I had a... because it was bought from the dealership, I had full coverage.
Oh.
They just sucked it that much.
Wow. Those bastards.
So, if I can impart any knowledge to our listeners, it's please, for the love of God, get...
Don't do that, right?
Yeah, get some kind of name brand. You know, like, just make sure they have commercials on TV, for God's sakes. Because if they can afford commercials, they could probably afford to take care of you.
And they probably will.
Mm-hmm. So I'm down with no car for Because again, I got tired of renting cars by the week from Enterprise because I was costing me like $300 to $400 a week.
Good God!
Yeah, and it always changed. It was making me mad. It was like the same vehicle, but like 1 week it was $300, the next week it was $400. I don't know. They seem to have no rhyme or reason to their madness. But this is around the time when I said, fuck it, I'll just join the Navy where I don't really need a vehicle for a little while.
That's true.
Yeah, so.
You can just swim there.
We use boats, sir. Come on.
Like I said, you can just swim there.
Thank you. Okay, so I went about, that was 2016. And so I went on about a 2 year hiatus before I got a new vehicle. So in the year 2018, it's about time I get a car. And I went ahead and got myself that little red car that you remember, the 2015 Honda Civic.
That's the one.
Yeah. And I gave her a name. Her name was Beulah.
I never heard you call her that.
I never called her much. She was about as cool as granted, again, nothing wrong with her mechanically. She's a Honda, you know, good car.
Yeah, a new one.
She was newer. She was a tiny car, which I initially got because I thought it would be fun and because it would keep people from trying to bum me for rides.
It did do that.
It did that. But I realized that I was going to need a little bigger of a vehicle.
Yeah, because we went to that car show, and it was after that that you got your next one.
Yep. So I went ahead, and I guess I had her for about a year and a half. And that was February of this year, 2020. I traded her in, got myself a brand new vehicle. This is the first time I've ever gotten brand new.
And this was right before the outbreak happened, so the brand new car, one, you don't have to drive that much now, have you?
Mm-mm, not at all. But yeah, traded her in for my new car, 2020 Kia Forte, again, because I actually really liked that little Kia that I had, the wrecked one.
Yeah.
I figured I'd just get the newer version of it. Everything would be wavy gravy, and so far, yeah, man, it's been wavy gravy. Can't think of any problems I've run into her so far. She's a four-door vehicle, but big. I can fit in every seat, front and back.
Yeah.
She's got some pep in her step. Like the other car, the red one, Beulah. Small, so it gave the impression that maybe it was quick, but not at all. She had what we call a CVT transmission, which is really just a one-gear vehicle.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my new car is an automatic, but it has a little thingy where you can like flip the shift stick into like sport mode, and then you can like pretend you're like driving manually, so you can like downshift when you want to like pass people up, and it's fun.
Yeah.
Do it all the time, especially in a city like Maryland. Like when I'm on 495 and just absolutely hate everybody and want to be an insane madman. It works perfectly for that.
Yeah, say that doesn't take much.
Nope, no, it doesn't. All you have to do is mention Butt Ugly Martians, that terrible cartoon from the early 2000s, and yeah, I'll be in a insane rage.
I just thought it was the fact that you were driving in Maryland that would do it.
yeah, that pisses me off too, but that's we've touched upon that already.
That's true.
No, so, so I've had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cars in my life.
I stopped counting years as well. I know it's a lot.
You had a shitload, you know, and I had a bicycle for about half a year.
I never resorted to a bicycle, I will say that.
Good. But I wanted to end our episode by maybe I wanted to posit this question to you.
Okay.
You are given an infinite budget, but you're only allowed to buy one car. What would you do?
This for the rest of my life, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Warren Buffett asked this exact same question. So, I've actually put some thought into this, and infinite budget, I'm thinking, I do want a pickup, but I want a pickup that I know is going to last. So, I would actually get, like, the newest model of, I don't want to say Cadillac because I don't know how good their quality is, but like I might go with like the newest full extended cab, like Tundra.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would want to know that I can haul anything I want or need anywhere. And because it's Toyota, I know that they're not only going to make it with quality, they build those things to last you forever. And I'd go with the extended cab in the event that I one day got a family, so I would still be able to haul people around, not just stuff.
You gave a very practical answer, and I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care how fast it goes. I just needed to know it can keep up.
So, in opposite, you know, in the spirit of us being kind of like yin and yang, you know?
You're going with a hot sports car, aren't you?
Oh, dude, so let me tell you. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Ford versus Ferrari.
I did not, but I've heard about it.
So, it touches upon the Le Mans race, which, God, I wish I had looked this up prior to the podcast, but so I'm going to throw out a random number and pray I'm right. 1964. But
I want to say it was around that time frame.
But the history being is that Ford had wanted to buy out Ferrari, and Ferrari said no. And that pissed off Ford, so they basically tried to build a race car that would beat the crap out of them at the Le Mans race. They developed the GT40, which, true to their, I guess, hope, you know, it accomplished that. It smoked them. And, of course, they made a road-going version because I think rules back then said, you know, if you have, like, a race car, it also has to have a road-going version as well. Or maybe they just wanted to make more money. So, yes, I would absolutely love to own an old-school 1960s model GT40, which is fast as hell, crazy lightweight. I don't even know if this thing weighs 2,500 pounds, but it's got, like, 400 horsepower behind the wheel. Behind the rear wheels, I should say, because it is a rear-engine vehicle.
And, really?
Yeah. And another fun fact, the 40 in the name GT40 refers to its ride height. It is only 40 inches tall. And one of the race drivers, his name was Dan Gurney. He was taller than me, even 6'5". And with his helmet on, could not fit into the vehicle. So for the race model, on top of the driver's side, they had to like kind of make this weird little like bubble to accommodate his height, which they refer to as the Gurney bubble. It's a beautiful, just absolutely gorgeous vehicle, a true testament to, you know, its era's limitations. And I absolutely would love to have one in my garage. It would probably have a litany of problems, just knowing my luck and knowing that it's like now a almost 70-year-old vehicle.
I was gonna say, being in the antique range, unless you took good care of that, you're not gonna have that thing last all that long.
Oh no, it would basically just be something for me to look at from afar. So I'm gonna steal your answer because, again, it was very practical. I liked it, and I think I would see some use in an extended cab Toyota Tundra. We get like opposite colors. You get the red one, I'll get the blue one, or you get blue, I get red. I don't know.
Yeah, I prefer the blue. I'm not much for red cars.
I'll take the red, buddy.
Excellent. Those get pulled over more.
Damn it.
Yep.
Just can't win.
Nope.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me and our little babble sesh. I had a lot of fun.
I did too. We both had a lot to say on this one.
Yeah, man. I hope our listeners can send us their fan mail, you know, tell us what kind of cars they have loved throughout the years, what kind of cars they would love to have in the oncoming years. Maybe they could just call us some swear words. I don't know.
Yeah, it's all the same. It gets us advertised somehow without us having to actually pay for it.
Woohoo! Alrighty. Well, on that note, I'm Hody Rez.
And I'm the Mag.
And we will see you next time.
Cheers.